Welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, a show for creators and entrepreneurs. How you doing? How you doing? Happy first day of Black History Month. I know for a lot of us, Black History Month is a representation of recognizing where we were and then also amplifying where we are going. So to all the current Black History Month makers, myself included, I celebrate you and I recognize you for your achievements. And I wanted to kick off this month with a very special episode of Coffee with Yvonne, brought to you by the Green Book Experience. The Green Book Experience is a Black-founded, woman-led online travel destination guide and booking site that connects users to Black historical sites and experiences, as well as the multicultural communities that are part of that destination. If this sounds familiar, The Green Book Experience is inspired by the historic Negro Motorist Green Book that was created by New York City mailman Victor Hugo Green, who wrote this guide to identify services and places that were relatively friendly to African Americans so they could find lodgings, businesses, and gas stations that would serve them along the road. So therefore, I only thought it was appropriate for this episode to do an episode themed around connecting travel to culture, featuring the president and CEO of the Green Book Experience, Ms. Karen Aaron. Now, Karen is not just somebody I reached out to on a cold DM or email. Karen is someone I've known for over 10 years in a tourism and travel space. We worked together back when I worked for Montgomery County Tourism early in my career. And she has always been someone who has not only looked out for me, but really has taken me under her wing to always check in to make sure I was okay. And anytime an opportunity came up to amplify my business or give me an opportunity to amplify myself and my career trajectory, Karen always supported me and provided me with those opportunities. So I thought it was only right to sit down with her for this interview to talk about the work that she and her team are doing with the Green Book Experience. If you want to learn more about the Green Book Experience, please feel free to go to their social media at the Green Book EXP. You can also find out more by Googling the Green Book Experience. And then more importantly, they are participating in a multitude of travel shows. The Travel Adventure Show, the next one coming up for us DMV folks, will be the end of the month in February, the 24th and 25th. Make sure to stop by to learn all about what they're doing in the travel space to connect communities to culture. And with that being said, enjoy this interview, this very real interview with one of my favorite people and an OG in the tourism industry, Ms. Karen Aaron. Okay. No worries. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I am really, really excited. And I know I say that all the time, but I'm telling the truth. I have an OG in the tourism game on my show today, y'all. I have a fabulous woman. She be, child, when I tell y'all, this is a baddie, okay? This is goals for professional women like myself. She not only keeps it 100, but she looks out for her community. She is authentic, you know, and she is one of those kind of people that she will pull you in when she has opportunities for you and make sure that her people are always doing good and have an opportunity to eat. All right. So let me introduce you to Miss Karen Aaron. She is a 36 year veteran in the hospitality and tourism industry after starting her career at Continental and United Airlines before spending the next 15 years in hotel management at Hilton Hotels and Resorts, Hyatt Regency, and the Ritz-Carlton Hotel brand. As an experienced destination marketing professional, she has held several, and let's repeat that for the cheap seats in the back, several leadership positions at Visit Loudoun in Virginia, Visit Montgomery, my former place of work where I met Karen, in Maryland, before she was hired as the HBIC, or professionally, president and CEO at the Greater North Convention and Visitors Bureau, where she was responsible for the strategic direction and organization to include financial performance, short, long-range planning, advocacy, and branding. Not only that, she is a recognized thought leader and currently holds certifications as a certified tourism ambassador, sports tourism strategist, executive education, hospitality, and tourism certification from Florida Atlantic University, certificate in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and pending future receipts. Certified destination management executive from Destinations International. In addition to her many accomplishments, Karen is also the managing partner at KKD Tourism Advisors LLP. And with that being said, welcome to Coffee with Yvonne.
Love it, Yvonne. Keep it real. Keep it 100. Love, love, love the introduction. I appreciate you and thank you for having me on your show, Coffee with Yvonne. Love it.
Hey. Oh,
Hey.
this is so exciting for me because I know Karen in real life and she is beyond that girl. Like, I'm excited to have this conversation with you today, especially because a lot of folks, Karen, don't know what tourism is. You know, they don't understand. And I did a whole TikTok about this, about Beyonce's Renaissance tour and economic impact related to tourism, but they don't understand how professionals like yourself, and when I used to work in the tourism industry, have such a great impact on the economic growth for the cities that we represent or destinations. So, for us to get started, we have to talk about why we're here today. First and foremost, your company is doing something, a new initiative with your business, the Green Book Experience. But that is, for those who don't know, during the days of Jim Crow, the former NYC mailman. Victor Hugo Green, he created the original Green Book as a guide to keep Black travelers safe from 1936 to 1967. Your platform, the Green Book Experience, is inspired by this history and bringing new life into the travel industry through cultural experiences and tech. So tell my audience a little bit about what inspired you and your team to take on this project.
Okay, thank you, Yvonne, and thank you for asking. So, the history of the historic and original Green Book comes from a sad place in our history. You know, of course, during the Jim Crow South, African Americans could not get in their car, travel across the state of Alabama, and show up at the Holiday Inn in one piece. So, through the ingenuity of Victor Hugo Green, he put together a guide. And basically, this guide was where to go, where to eat, where to sleep, where not to go, when to travel, what to travel with, and where are the safe havens when you were traveling during those times. And it was very important because what we know about the connection between the book and travel, it's all about economic impact. It's all about supporting these businesses. So although that we didn't have the internet back then, we didn't have AAA maps, we didn't have GPS. So to have a guide that's going to tell you where to go from one state to another state where you can spend your Black dollars with another Black organization or another Black entrepreneur, that was huge when it came to the Deep South. So for me, it was the pandemic hit. Travel and tourism was shut down like any other industry in the country. And I don't say that lightly. When you have a ground stop on airlines and no one can travel, that entire industry was obliterated. So myself and a couple of other partners who said, you know what, it's going to take 2 to 3 years to rebound. How do we make the most of, how do we support each other, destinations from all across the country? How do we support small and local businesses that have a cultural flavor? How do we go ahead and do this by making sure that they are not lost in the mix? Because as the country opens, you're not going to remember Joe's Hot Dog Shack on the corner of 9th and Elm. So we decided to put together a guide, a digital guide that speaks to the original story of the Green Book, however, making sure that we bring into fold those smaller local operators. So we came together in 2020, we formed the LLC, start working with some of our destination partners, start working with some of our community organizations like the Urban League, Minority Supply Development Council, start working with some of these other organizations, the African American Chamber of Commerce, and say, how do we go ahead and make sure these folks are included when the country opens? And that's how the Green Book Experience came to life. And it's been a beautiful It's been a beautiful story because a lot of times people say, you know, you don't, only the locals know the local guy, but that's not how this works. We want to make sure that everybody knows the local guy so they can eat too. So it was birthed out of a time in need, and me and my partners came together, and now it's working. So we are excited about the path that this platform will do for leisure travelers, for people traveling all across the country.
So, Karen, let's back up a little bit. You mentioned tourism, and I also mentioned tourism in the intro of your bio. For those who may not be familiar with what tourism is all about, can you give like a brief overview about the industry and its impact on our day-to-day lives? Because we don't get the respect that we deserve for what we're, you know, what we do. I don't work in tourism anymore, but when I did work in tourism, I learned a lot about how important it is economically. So go ahead, tell the people, tell the people.
So I'm gonna keep it short. So tourism is not going to Disney World, spending $150 a ticket, and then going home with some Mickey Mouse ears and saying great vacation. Tourism is an economic engine that when you go to Disney World already knows that they got your money because you spent $400 on a ticket. You're staying in hotels. You're eating at restaurants. You're buying gas. You're buying merchandise. All of that is all a part of the tourism umbrella, which in turn is the underbelly for supporting that community. So a lot of people like to give you the Webster's Dictionary and say tourism is just a movement of people that's coming in and out of a destination. Where I say that tourism is just that, it is a community. It's a community of organizations and attractions that is there to kind of make you feel good, spend your money, and keep it local to the people that lives there. That to me is what community is. That is supporting local organizations, local families, local jobs. And that is why tourism is important. It's a $479 billion industry. So it's not something to be played with, and people take it for granted because they got the Mickey Mouse ears and they came home with a good time. It's actually feeding families and getting and providing jobs.
And I'm glad you broke it down like that because when I worked in tourism, everyone had the assumption that, you know, nothing wrong with it that I worked in hotels. I'm like, no. I don't work in that part of tourism. It was more of the overarching impact. We worked a lot with Destination DC, the state of Maryland, you know, the international tourism. I've hosted people from all over the world to bring them into a destination. Now, with you, because you were an HBIC and continue to be one, you have an extensive background, mostly serving as the CEO of Visit Newark. Did I say that right? Newark? Is it Newark or Newark?
It's actually the full name, which I gotta give them some credit. It's the Greater Newark Convention and Business Bureau, or Greater Newark CVB.
Okay, Greater Newark CVB. But you've seen firsthand how tourism can impact Black and minority-owned businesses. Why is it important for Black and people of color to make an effort to support minority-owned businesses when traveling?
So, in a perfect world, the big and shiny objects like the museums, the zoos, the big fancy restaurants that you know of, they have the love. They have the tools and the resources. They're on Google. You can find them through your GPS. You can find them through your CVB. But what you don't know about is the little tiny coffee shop that may be called Tony's Minis. And they may not have a website. They may not have a social media person that is pushing their brand out there. You may not know of the small barbecue joint that's on the corner, and he's licensed and he's certified. He has the best barbecue in town, but the locals know him. That's why it's important that when you get into a destination, that you find those local eats, you find those local businesses, because they're not on Google. Google don't know where there's no latitude and longitude for the corner of 6th and Elm. What it is that there's a dude down there that's been there forever, or there may be a bus company that may have one bus And you know, he's known for the guy that's going to bring people in and bring people out. He's running trips to Atlantic City. The bottom line is that not everybody has the tools and the means and the resources to be on a major tourism platform. But when you go local and you get in town and you ask around or you go to your local bureau, they'll tell you who's their fan favorites. And that's why we have to go ahead and we have to do our homework. We have to make sure that we know, you know, where to go and where not to go. We have to lean on recommendations and lean on your own research because that's where you want your money to go. You want to support those local operators that may not know who you are and when their next big, you know, their next purchases may come from. So that's why it's important that we dig deep and make sure that we are supporting the folks that support us.
And you're absolutely right. When I was in San Francisco recently for work, you know, everyone had their recommendations of what museums to go to and this and the other. And I always purposely make a list like, okay, I know this is the hot spots for the tourists to go to, but what are Black people? Where's the culture? You know, where can I pull up to have an authentic experience? And instead of going to the big museums, I went to the smaller exhibits to see Keyonde Wiley, you know, on he had like a limited show at the De Young Museum. I went to the Museum of the African Diaspora instead of to the San Francisco art museums. I pulled up to the places that my coworkers didn't want to pull up to. I said, I'm going anyway to make sure Big Mama and them know they got my dollars.
Exactly.
And you know what? I wanted to think about too, Karen. When it comes to people having this idea that when you do travel, supporting Black and Brown owned businesses, a lot of times people think that they're in undesirable communities. And let's just keep it a buck. You know, people are used to going to places where, like downtown DC, they think DC all looks the same, but the moment they step outside on the blue line, they're afraid. But some of those areas that are less tourist destinations have the best food, the best culture, et cetera. So what recommendations would you give for those who may be outside of the community, how they can embrace different cultures without having that immense fear sometimes associated with it through tourism?
Well, most of the times, you are correct. A lot of these attractions may be in less desirable neighborhoods. And it's unfortunate because they may not can afford the big rent that you're going to find down at the Inner Harbor. But you can go into some place like Baltimore where they have the National Blacks and Wax Museum. So some people will be like, ooh, you know, I'm not going over there. But you also got to know, you got to look beyond the greater good. I mean, a lot of these organizations and these exhibits are supported through grants and through foundations, and they have a responsibility to provide a great product. And a lot of times, you know, that comes with some level of service and security. But I think that we cannot get caught up in our own fear of saying, well, I don't want to go down there because, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, I'm afraid for what I don't know. You got to know that they're there for a reason. And if they can come in every day and provide a product or exhibit or an attraction for all of us to enjoy, we should feel inclined to support them too. So I think that a lot of times we get into our own head about what we think that is safe and secure. But at the end of the day, there's no place like a better experience than, I hate to say it, than in the urban or in African American community. That's where the food is. That's where the festivals are. That's where the house music and the jazz festivals are. That's where the fish fry is at. So that's where the people who they and those are the places where people live. And I think that if we can do our research, ask around, I think we'll find that you'll have a much better experience and it'll be much more fulfilling if you get and you just go for it.
And I appreciate you saying that. Now, to shift gears, there's an association with tourism where people are okay with being in their bubble. However, there has been a shift in recent years. After the passing of the Civil Rights Act, there's been a resurgence of certain ideas and behaviors that do mirror the days of Jim Crow. For example, Governor DeSantis of Florida has been passing legislation targeting minorities and members of the LGBTQIA plus community. From your experience, for those who are minorities and members of the queer community, how can they stay how can they stay safe? I can talk, y'all, when visiting areas that are less racially tolerant.
So I think that what DeSantis is doing in Florida is an abomination, but it's a wake-up call for all of us. Anytime that you have a governor, and just so you know, it only takes one. Start with someone in that position where they sugarcoat and start to tell minorities, and whether it's minorities, gay and lesbian, doesn't matter. What you can read, what you can where you can learn, where you can what those type of actions that's going to be taking place in their state. I think that every minority group should look at another option. There's Disney World is not just in Florida, it's also in the state of California. So you can go somewhere else to go ahead and get your Mickey experience, because that's a wake-up call that's saying that these states are not friendly to minorities. And then when they start to pass legislation where you could be penalized or criminalized because of what you teach in school, that is absolutely horrible. I think that it's disgusting warfare against the minority community. And I think that we have to go ahead and understand that the power of the dollar is real, that unfortunately, there are communities inside the state of Florida that can benefit from our tourism dollars, but I also don't support that. I don't support this action that he's doing against certain minorities. As regards to being racially tolerant, we don't want to be ugly. We want to be mindful that they Floridians, African Americans, and cultural minorities need to eat too. But we have to go ahead and vote. I mean, and this is, I'm speaking to the state of Florida, and I'm speaking to everybody who's paying attention to this national election. This is where your vote matters, because we shouldn't have to be dealing with this at this time. And it's unfortunate, because this is the issue that he brought to the table. And now we know money talks. That's the power that we always have, and that's where we have to stick with. But yeah, Yvonne, I am so disappointed that we are in this position 50 years later, 100 years later, and it only takes one. So we got to wake up and pay attention to what's going on.
We really do. And with DeSantis legislation, there has been a blatant attempt at rewriting history and the contributions of the Black community and other minority communities. How is the Green Book experience helping to ensure our culture and contributions live on?
We leave no one behind. So for me, if again, going back to those local small operators, they live there. They were born and raised there. There's communities such as, I was down in Florida recently, and I went to the Goombay Festival, and you go into Overtown down in Miami. These people live and work there. They've been there all their life. However, my role in the Green Book is to make sure that they're not forgotten. Just like that book, the way that book was written, that we're going to put it in print. So when you're going through there, you know where to go. So you may skip past the Starbucks and go to Joanne's coffee shop. But guess what? You're going to know that Joanne's coffee shop is there. And that's our responsibility to make sure that you're well informed. So for us, working with our partners inside the state, making sure that we're connected to the minority community, and making sure that they have a platform and an outlet that they can get and showcase their business and on showcase their business for anybody that's traveling through, so they can be supported. Because DeSantis is not going to help you get there. If he's going to remove African American studies in the college system, you can trust and believe he doesn't give a damn about Yvonne's coffee shop on the corner of, in downtown Fort Lauderdale. He just don't. So someone has to be an advocate for you, the little guy, and that's I believe that as someone in tourism and understanding how this economically can make your business grow and help you to compete, that's how the Green Book experience is a way that we can get that done for you.
And I appreciate knowing that, especially because millennials and more specifically Gen Z, as much as we rag on them, they're very into supporting small businesses. They're really not about big corporations as much as possible. So this could be an eye opener for them to understand that their dollars do matter where they put it, into to help that support.
Absolutely. Yeah, and absolutely. There's no other way around. There's no, when we, Yvonne, when it's interesting, because, and we've been talking about Black love for a long time, right? So despite all of the nonsense and everything, we as African Americans and all minorities, we love what we are culturally, how we are culturally connected. And there's no other reason why we don't or should not support each other if we don't, if we know. So if you don't, if I don't know you're there, and I don't know that you're making t-shirts, and I don't know that you're buying candles, and I don't know that how can I support you? I just went out here to a farmer's market out here in Loudoun County. Loudoun County is one of the wealthiest counties in the country. I went out there, there was a few, I would say if there was 100 vendors out there, I would say maybe 10 of them were minority owned. I made sure that I went and bought something from everybody there. I don't care if it was a $5, some candle wax from this sister here, or if it was a dog collar from the brother that was down there, because they are online. They don't have a brick and mortar. So a lot of times there, she's mixing candle wax out of her kitchen. But if she's there, I'm there with her. And I'm going to support her. And if she has a great product, I'm going to help her grow because there's no reason why we should not support each other. Every other community and every other race does that. And we should do that too. And there's no excuse for it.
Now, Karen, this question isn't on our list, but how can small business owners like the sister girl you bought the wax from at the farmers market, how can they put aside some money for like marketing and promotion to feed it into like a tourism budget with like a Visit Loudoun or the Green Book experience? Like, what is your recommendation? Like, is there value in that? Should they be looking into that in their overall business plan? What are your thoughts?
I think that you have to surround yourself with the right people. When I say the right people, get yourself a great attorney. And I'm going to tell you a secret. Shh, 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 shh. Don't tell anybody. So when we formed the Green Book Experience, I was recommended to an attorney out of New York. And it was a sister, beautiful woman. And she said, "You know what we do?" I said, "What?" She said, "We offer pro bono services to small minority-owned businesses." There are a lot of corporate America, even white corporate America, that will offer pro bono services to help you grow. So what you have to do is that you have to make sure that you ask the right people and you become accessible. So what that looks for us is having a business plan, having a team, having a website that's that look and spoke intelligently, and also having resources. What I find is that the resources are out there. A lot of times we don't know how to access them. I am connected to every program and option and access that the state of Maryland offers. I'm actually going to a procurement fair next week because I have to show up. So no one will ever say I offered it and you didn't come. I make sure that I'm in the room and I'm making sure that I'm shaking hands and kissing babies because that's the way to do it. But again, make sure that your credentials are tight. Make sure that your books are tight and then ask for help. You'll be surprised the number of people that will come out and help you because they believe in you.
And then when it comes to like becoming members of say like a Destination DC or Visit Maryland, those kind of places, people don't see the value behind it because they're looking at it from what well, I pay for this membership. What am I getting back for it? What could be some of the return on investments that strategically small businesses don't think about? What are some areas that you can note?
Well, I think that if you're working, if you have a tourism product, be honest, go to that some, not all CVBs and DMOs have memberships. Some will offer complimentary memberships, some will offer them based on a sliding scale, but ask how you can get involved. And even if that's the case, then volunteer. Ask how you can serve on a committee. Ask how you can kind of show up in the community to help promote the destination. So they see a valid interest in you that's going to help support that destination so they can help support you. So I think that you have to be more accessible. And I'm going to tell you, Yvonne, it's the hardest work I've ever done. I have worked inside of corporate America all of my life, and I have never worked this hard. I would say 60 to 70% of the work that I do is networking and meeting people. But I've found that if they believe you meet people and if they believe in you, they got your back and they're going to help you. And it doesn't matter what your line of work is. So I think that we just have to kind of use our own talents. Like I said, lean on people that we know. Contact Pink Doll House Marketing if you need to kind of help with your brand and your image, and make that work for you. And if all things are if you just can't do it and you're just afraid, get yourself a good partner that can help get you there. Because sometimes you need another person to stand beside you and help you get to where you want to be. So, but yeah, don't give up. There's other ways around and other ways to skin this cat. And I think we just need to be open-minded on how we get there.
And I agree with that. And your project, the Green Book Experience, you mentioned that it's going to be a product that's immersive with tech partners, et cetera. Now, we have so many different competitor sites out there right now. There's what, Expedia, Booking.com, Travelocity, the other planning sites. So how will the Green Book Experience be different, from what other planners are needing to use in terms of tools for their trip? Like, how will you create something so valuable that they have to use it each and every time?
So Google, Expedia, a lot of these guys have been working towards finding the these the similar operators. They have done their part. Where we complement them is the small local operator. So they know where the African American History Museum is in DC. They may know where, some of the other the other big shiny objects. They don't know the little guy. So what we do is that we work alongside our membership with the associations, the African American associations and the Hispanic associations and the community to find out where the small guy is. So we're not necessarily competitors. I mean, it's I'm I, we want to make I, my goal is to bring a tool to them. Or support, and they support us, and we support them with those organizations that they can't find. And we've had great meetings with Google. We've had a great meeting with Expedia. Had a great meeting with Viator, and they're saying, "Help me help them, Karen. If you know of someone, or you have an operator, or you have a partner, or a restaurateur that we don't know of." Bring them to our attention. So what we're doing is we're bringing them a new line of owner operators that they may not know of. And that's where how the Green Book experience will complement them as well.
Got it. That makes sense. So in line of a partnership with these bigger conglomerates to provide a platform for those small businesses who don't have the budget or the resources to get in front of an Expedia or, Google, correct?
Exactly. Exactly,
Got it. Got it.
exactly.
And then thinking about what I've seen on your website, I saw a mention of the Green Book Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on supporting towards the minority-owned businesses. Is that correct? Is that something that is an initiative for the Green Book
It
Experience?
absolutely is. So when we founded the Green Book Experience, the goal was always about supporting local minority organizations. And if you're on our website, greenbookexperience.com, one of our main mission is that we, and I'm going to recite it because it's on the front page of our website. It says, we envision a world where businesses in any destination, regardless of size and background, will have equity and access to the global tourism economy. So again, circling back to our small and local operators. We want them to have access to this global tourism economy where they're eating too, with the bus groups, the leisure travelers, the meeting planners, the family reunion groups. We want to make sure that's connected. So our four of our pillars is sustainable tourism. How do we help these org how do we help these businesses sustain themselves over the course of time? So if it's a small cupcake shop on the corner, or it's a small barbecue joint. How do we help them sustain a line of business and not sustain their business through this tourism economy through products and services. Education is working with our educational partners, such as Florida Atlantic University, working with some of our DMOs to make sure that they have access to resources and how to get and connect and compete and be accessible. So building that bridge to make sure that they know exactly what this industry is about. Entrepreneurship, how to build a new brand. If you have a product, say hypothetically, you have promotional items. We know that when from family reunions to corporate groups, you know, you're a small operator. How do you build this business? How do you make sure that you have a platform that you want to again provide products to this trade show or to this corporate party? And then also just through DEI, you know, what does that look like to be available and accessible in this climate where, you know, that you're respected, but also you feel valued. So all of that is pending through our 501c3. We've already been on file with, we are on file with the IRS. We have a board of directors, we have bylaws, we are set up and kind of ready to go. We're ready to kind of launch with our mission. And then we kind of take it from there. So I'm excited about that because that's what the original Green Book was about. It's about all of these things to help people build a better product, build a better mousetrap so people can come and visit and spend money with your in your destination.
I love that. I love that. And I know the Green Book experience is launching soon, correct, Karen?
Yes. So we have, you know, all things technology. You got to cross your hands with technology. So we have a great partner. We have a great partner through Group Collect. This is an outfit out of Pennsylvania. When I say powered by Group Collect, because a portion of their platform will spotlight these local operators. So we have a test model that's kind of running now. We hope to be fully up and launched by the end of this month. We're going to be attending a couple of trade shows. I'm going to be speaking at a few about the platform, but you know, it's a journey. So it's a journey, but we know it's coming. We've already talked, we already connected, things are in test phase and we're excited about it. So I'm excited.
I love that. And then for those who want to learn more about the Green Book experience, how can they get in touch with you or say, you know, those that you work with, should they go to the website? Is there somewhere where they can follow, learn more? Tell me all the things.
Yep. So we are on Facebook, Twitter. I'm sorry, is it called X? What is it called?
No, it's Twitter. We don't call it X.
Let me correct, because I was not happy with Elon Musk. So I actually closed my Twitter account. And then when I went to go do it, you know what happened, Yvonne? It's almost like it didn't want me to close it. It took me through all these hoops and ladders. So anyway, we have a Facebook account. We have a LinkedIn account. We have an Instagram account, and I got this bootleg Twitter account that I didn't want to have anything to do with, but we'll see. Also, if you're on the website, you can sign up for updates and alerts about the launch. And then also, I have a gentleman that's redoing our website. Actually, he's adding things to our website now where he's going to talk about where we are. So I have four different locations in October, where we're going to be talking about the Green Book experience. So you're going to see a whole new refresh of activations on the site. So, but yes, start there. And then you can always email me at Karen@greenbookexp.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Karen, that was a fantabulous interview. Now, I know we're done with the Green Book experience questions, but do you want to do a couple quick fire questions with me?
Uh-oh, you know, with Yvonne, anything can come from Yvonne. So I am prepared. Let me see. All right. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, first question. And remember, these are top of the dome. It doesn't have to be perfect. First thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay, wait. Let me
think. Okay, recenter. Got it. Okay. All right. What was the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice that I've ever received?
Yes.
It's stupid, but I'll tell you.
Tell me.
So it's a woman, I met an older white lady. She was so sweet. And she came into the city and she came into our bureau and she said, I'm gonna give you the best advice. She said, go when you can, not when you have to. And I was like, what does that mean? And it was so funny. And she said, go to the bathroom when you can, not when you have to. And I was like, that was so funny to me. But and though it's kind of cheesy, but I loved it. But one thing that I always have in one thing that I'll say, I don't know if this is advice or something that I live by, is the quote that is on my signature. And my signature is the African proverb. And it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. But I've had this in my signature line for like the last 5 years, actually longer than that, because I realized that even as a minority woman, sometimes we're kind of out here and we feel like we're on this island, by ourselves. And I am a little bit of a control freak. I like to do things on my own, but I realize that everywhere I've been, I've had a journey with people who love me and they've been with me. So I think it applies to me that if you want to go fast, you go alone. And that's what I've been doing. But if I every time that I have stepped out and I wanted to go far, I went together, and I went together with people who love me and support me. So that's the proverb, Yvonne. I'm gonna make sure that I have it up with next time you call me, because I have it. I it's me 100%.
Okay, and then for the next question, in your opinion, who is the best rapper or singer of all time?
Andrea Bocelli.
The opera?
Yes.
I did not expect that answer to come from you. I'll
Love
tell you the truth.
him. I love him. And when you have to overcome, because he's blind, he's sight restricted. And when you are born in a place where you cannot see and experience life, but you can belt out beautiful music, I think that that is a gift from God, and he is fabulous. I love him. My dream is to see him in Italy next year, Andrea Bocelli.
Write that on your vision board, you know?
It was on my vision board last year, but I couldn't afford it. But yes, that's to me that he is the best singer of all time.
Okay. And then thinking about movies, what movie do you enjoy quoting the most?
It's cheesy, but it's the truth. It is from A Few Good Men.
Okay.
He says, "You can't handle the truth."
You can't
Can't
handle
handle the
the
truth.
truth.
Yep. And you know why that is?
Why?
Because people can't handle the truth. The truth is all about fear, and people don't want to deal with the pain. People are embarrassed, and a lot of times we can't handle the truth, but we have to own it. We have to own it. We have to accept it. We have to launch with it. And I think that that is, unfortunately, a lot of people are reluctant to, I'm not gonna say reluctant to succeed. People are just terrorized because of fear, because they know a truth, there's a truth inside of them that they don't want to deal with it. So once you can deal with your own truth, then you can go to, it'll take you places you never experienced. So
Okay, quotables. Okay.
quotables, yes. You can't handle
Quotables.
the truth. You're right. I can't. The truth is, I can't handle any of that butter pecan ice cream down there. But guess what? I know it's not for me, and I turn away because that is the truth. I can't handle it, and I have to accept the consequences. So,
Consequences are fine when it comes to good ice cream, but
exactly.
also to think about too, if you were to devote the rest of your life to giving back, what cause would you choose?
Human trafficking.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there a why?
It's stunning that an individual can traffic another individual for profit and gain. Like, I cannot even imagine for someone being in that situation. If there's anything that I can do, anything that I could do to help prevent or stop young women, young boy, whomever. I just think that it is horrible that this is an industry that has just completely taken advantage of people who are disenfranchised, and it's ugly. It's ugly. If I could, whatever I could do to change that, I was. So I'm always on the lookout. Anytime I'm out in public, if I even remotely see anybody that looks like that they're not with the right person, I absolutely speak out. I'm like, that don't look right over there. I'll tell you a quick story. We were in we Rodney and I went on vacation in Costa Rica, and there was a girl, there was an older guy. He well in his 60s. There was this young girl she was with him. And you can tell, I mean, she was at the pool, he was at the pool, and I was like, this don't smell right. I said, she don't look right. And every time she got up to move, he got up to move. And I said, this don't smell right. So Rodney, when my husband is in law enforcement, I was like, we're in a foreign country. I said, Rodney, I said, something's up with that situation. He was like, Karen. He said, listen, I'm an American. We in Mexico. I said, I don't care. So I went over to the hotel staff and I said, listen, that young lady over there, she just doesn't feel comfortable. She doesn't feel safe. Now, security came and they talked to them. I don't know what the situation is, but I knew it wasn't her husband and definitely wasn't her father. But it happens every day, and it's unfortunate. So, yeah.
Okay, and then thinking about it too, Karen, if you were to say write a book one day, right, what would your book be about?
Raising Black boys in the 20th century, raising African American boys in the 20th century. As a mother of two African American boys, it is the hardest thing you're ever going to do in your life. And there may be books that are out there. I would love to see a platform of short stories of women who have raised Black boys and minority boys because it's a different type of skill. Particularly being a Black mother, you know, and I'm fortunate. I've been married. Both my son's fathers was in their life, but the challenges and the obstacles that they have to go through is just unprecedented. So I would put my spin on it, and would love to hear from other moms that are out there. What worked for you? What didn't work? You know, what do you have to do, and the things you have to say at birth that you may have to that. You may have to say and do again when they're 20 years old or 30. So I just think that there's a spirit for people who raise young men, and it's tough for them. It's tough for them. We need a community like no not, like none other for raising Black boys. That would be my book.
Okay. And then finally, if you were a coffee, what kind of coffee would you be?
So I'm gonna full disclosure, I don't drink coffee. I have never
How, Karen? All that energy
Because
you got, you never touch a cup.
not even a single cup. My mother forbid us to drink coffee. She said, no coffee or tea until you're 20. So, ironically, me and all of my siblings, hardly any of us ever drink coffee. However, if I had to drink some, I would probably go with like a cafe mocha or something like that. So, it's a little bit of sweet, it's a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of creamy. It's a little bit of, you know, kind of tan looking. I would go with like something like that so I can get a little bit of jolt, but I can still remain sweet and kind like I am. And smooth and
Love that answer. The Karen. It'll be the well, no,
yes.
we don't want to be the Karen.
Oh,
We,
no,
no,
don't
we
call me a Karen now.
don't. No, I'm not. Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining me for coffee today. I appreciate your time and I look forward to chatting with you soon.
Thank you, Miss Yvonne. Pink Dollhouse Marketing in the mix. Listen, the number one marketing and branding company out here. Support this sister. I support her. She's doing her thing. Love you, Yvonne. It was a pleasure.
Well, what did you think? I told you Karen is a real one. People like that are definitely the kind of people who will keep the culture moving forward in terms of progress. And I choose to say that because a lot of times we don't see how much people behind the scenes, like the Karens or, you know, the grassroots organizers or the small business owners, are really helping to cause and affect positive change within our respective communities. Thank you again for joining me for another episode of Coffee with Yvonne. If you would like to learn more about me and my business, you could go ahead and go to pinkdollhousemarketing.com or you can find me on Instagram at pinkdollhousemarketing. You can slide into my DMs, that's cool. If you want to see my personal IG, go ahead and go over to @PinkDollStyle. Or if you are on TikTok, aka the Clock app, you can find me under Pinky Creates. I can't wait to chat with you soon. Okay, bye.
You can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities.
Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.